ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. భద్రం కర్ణేభి శృణుయామదేవాః, భద్రం పశ్యేమాక్షభిర్యజత్రాః, స్థిరైరంగైస్తుష్టువాగుంసస్తనూభిః విశేమ దేవహితం యదాయుః. స్వస్తి న ఇంద్రో వృద్ధశ్రవాః, స్వస్తి న పూషా విశ్వవేదాః, స్వస్తి నస్తార్క్ష్యో అరిష్టనేమిః, స్వస్తి నో బృహస్పతిర్దధాతు. ఓం శాంతిశాంతిశాంతి. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. మాండూక్య ఉపనిషత్, మాండూక్య కారిక, చాప్టర్ 4, అలాత శాంతి ప్రకరణ. ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్ ది టాపిక్ ఆఫ్ గౌడపాదాచార్యాస్ అజాదివాద, అజాదివాద వాస్ కన్క్లూడెడ్ విత్ శ్లోకా నంబర్ 23. ఇఫ్ యూ రిమెంబర్ ద శ్లోక, హేతుర్న జాయతే నాదేహే ఫలం చాపి స్వభావత ఆదిర్న విద్యతే యస్య తస్య హ్యాదిర్న విద్యతే. హేతు న జాయతే అనాదేహే. కాస్ ఇస్ నాట్ బాండ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఎ బిగినింగ్లెస్ ఇఫెక్ట్ అనాదేహే, బిగినింగ్లెస్. ఫలం చాపి స్వభావత, ఎఫెక్ట్ ఆల్సో, ఫలం ఇస్ ఆల్సో నాట్ బాండ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఎ బిగినింగ్లెస్ కాస్. బోత్ ఆర్ నాట్ బాండ్ బై దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ ఆల్సో, బికాస్ ఆది న విద్యతే యస్య హి ఆది న విద్యతే. దాట్ విచ్ హ్యాస్ నో కాస్ హ్యాస్ నో బర్త్. అండ్ వాట్ వాజ్ ద కన్క్లూషన్ ఆఫ్ గౌడపాదాచార్య? కర్మ ఆల్సో ఇస్ అన్ అపియరెన్స్, శరీరం ఆల్సో ఇస్ అన్ అపియరెన్స్. Because of what? Because of Maya. They are appearances in me. Who is me? The Sakshi Chaitanyam, the witness consciousness, the Turiya Atma. That Sakshi I do not have to get liberation. I only have to understand that I am, I have been, and will ever be Muktaha, ever be liberated. So giving reality to the world is the cause of the problem. With this, the refutation of the Vedic theory of creation is also over. So later, Gaudapadacharya will discuss one more point. If Vedic theory of creation is not a fact, why did Veda compromise with the fact and talk about a creation? That is a question. It is a deliberate compromise. Because a person cannot accept the idea of no creation in the beginning itself. Initially, we are all sure that there is a world, and so we are all attracted to scriptures that talk about a creation. Vedanta takes us out of samsara, which was never there to begin with. Initially, if the scripture says that there is no samsara, when we feel samsara, we will reject the scripture. Vedanta employs the method of Adhyaropa and Apavada. It accepts that there is a problem of samsara. It builds an elaborate scheme of karma theory to explain it, and then explains later that there is no problem in all three periods of time, past, present and future. However, within the appearance, karma theory has relevance, but it does not have absolute reality. So with this, all the theories of creations have been refuted. So we saw up to this in the last webinar. Now let us continue with shloka number 29.
Prajñapte sa nimittatvam anyatadvaya nashatah shankleshasyopalabdhescha paratantrastitamata. ప్రజ్ఞప్తే స నిమిత్తత్వం. నాలెడ్జ్ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ అన్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ కాస్. నిమిత్తం హియర్ రిఫర్స్ టు ఎక్స్టర్నల్ కాస్. సిన్స్ అన్యత ద్వయనాశత, దర్ విల్ నాట్ బి డ్యువలిస్టిక్ కాగ్నిషన్ అదర్వైజ్. అన్యత ద్వయనాశత. సో సంక్లేశస్య ఉపలబ్ధేశ్చ, అగైన్ మోర్ ఓవర్, సిన్స్ దర్ ఈస్ ది ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆఫ్ పెయిన్, సంక్లేశ ఆఫ్ పెయిన్ సఫరింగ్, పరతంత్రై స్థితామత, ది ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ సపోర్టెడ్ బై అదర్ సిస్టమ్స్ పరతంత్రాస్, దే ఆర్ ఆల్ అక్సెప్టెడ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దాట్. సో వీ అడ్మిట్ దట్ నాలెడ్జ్ హ్యాస్ ఇట్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్
since a contrary assumption will lead to non-duality. And the existence of objects supported by other systems is also accepted due to the experience of suffering and pain in the world, in the dualistic world, pluralistic world. Shloka 25.
Prajnapte he sa nimittatvam ishyate yukti darshanat nimittasya nimittatvam ishyate bhuta darshanat.
Prajnapte he sa nimittatvam. Knowledge having an external cause ishyate yukti darshanat. Yukti darshanam is logical view. From the logical view, that should be ishyate, it should be accepted. And bhuta darshanat, from the standpoint of reality, nimittasya animittatvam, the external cause should be accepted as no cause, animittam. So according to the perception of its cause, knowledge is supposed to be based on external objects. But from the standpoint view of reality, absolute reality, it is held that external cause is no cause. We are going to summarize all these shlokas together. Shloka 67.
Chittan asamsprishastyartham nārthābhāsam tataivacha abhūto hiyatas chārtho nārthābhāsas tataprithake.
Chittam na samprishati samprishatyatham na arthabhasam tataivacha. Consciousness, chittam, contacts neither a real object nor an apparent object because of what? Abhutohi yataha arthaha. A real object is non-existent, abhutaha. Na artha abhasaha tataha prithak. Nor is there an apparent object separate from that consciousness. There is no object separate from the consciousness. So consciousness has no contact with object nor with the appearance of object. Because an object has no existence and the mithya object is not separate from the awareness. It is not separate from that because that's how the consciousness is. And shloka 27.
Nimittam nasata chittam samprishatyadva sustrishum animitto viparyasaha katam tasya bhavishyati.
Chittam na samprishati nimittam advasu trishu sada. Chittam, consciousness, does not contact na samprishati an external object in all the three points of time, advasu trishu. Katam tasya viparyasaha bhavishyati animittaha. How can that consciousness have an error without an external object? Consciousness does not ever come in contact with external objects at all in all three states. There being no external object, how can there be any baseless false apprehension of that? How can there be an error?
Shloka 28. Tasma na jayate chittam, chitta drishyam na jayate, tasya pasyanti ye jatim, kevai pasyanti te padam.
Tasmat, therefore, chittam na jayate, consciousness is not born. Chittam here is all consciousness, is not born. Na chitta drishyam jayate, nor is an object of consciousness is also born. Ye tasya jatim pasyanti. Those people who see the birth of that consciousness, kevai pasyanti te padam. They are indeed seeing the footprints in the sky. It is as unreal as it is. So consciousness has no birth, and things perceived by it don't have birth also. So those who perceive the birth of consciousness, they may as well see footmarks in space. So Gaudapada Acharya enters the next important topic in shlokas 24 to 28. So we will see all these four shlokas together. So in these shlokas, Gaudapada Acharya enters into another involved discussion based on the Buddhist system. So this is Nastika Darshana. We have to understand Astika Darshanam and Nastika Darshanam. Astika Darshanam that accepts the Vedas as valid source of knowledge. They take into account the Vedas in addition to the other means of knowledge. Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Purva Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa, they are all Astika Darshanas. And Nastika Darshanas, they do not accept the Vedas as valid source of knowledge. And among the Nastika Darshanas, four powerful schools belong to Buddhism. And they are Sautrantika Darshanam, real external world exists. That's what that philosophy says. Real external world exists. Proved by what? By direct perception or Pratyaksha Pramanam. And the second system is Vaibhasika Darshanam, that also says real world exists outside, but that is proved not by Pratyaksha Pramanam, but proved by inference, Anumana Pramanam. World must be there because I experience it. So, internal experience is the proof for external object. So, both systems 1 and 2, they say that external world exists proved by direct perception and inference respectively. And the third system is called Yogachara Darshanam. There is no external world other than the observer, the consciousness principle. Like dream world we experience that does not exist separate from the observer. So the external world is mithya, the observer consciousness is satyam. So Yogachara Bahyartha Mithyatva Vadinaha, they are very close to Vedanta, Advaita Vedanta. And the fourth system is called Madhyamika Darshanam, they are Sarvartha Mithyatva Vadinaha. For those people, external world is also not there, the observer consciousness also is not there, the world is Mithya, and the consciousness also is Mithya, Sarvam Mithya. Then what is Satyam? Shunyam or nothing is Satyam. They are called Madhyamika, otherwise called Sunyavadis. So, these are the main differences among the four systems relevant for our discussion here. So, the four schools are what of Buddhism? Bahyartha Pratyaksha Vadinaha, Artha here means things. And Bahyartha Anumeya Vadinaha, and Bahyartha Mithyatva Vadinaha, and Sarvartha Mithyatva Vadinaha. So all the threes are Bahyartha and the last system, Madhyamika system, is Sarvartha Mithyatva Vadinaha. So now Gaudapada Acharya, he takes these four and make them debate and thereafter he will say what is correct. So therefore a debate among them is introduced in the following shlokas. In this debate, the Madhyamika school is not involved because the objector himself is shunyam. There is no point involve him because everything is shunyam. So the objector also is shunyam. So there is no point involving him in this debate. So the debate is between the first two groups as one side and the third on the other. Because first two both accept external world, one by Pratyaksha Pramanam, another by Anumana Pramanam. And the third one, so these are the three. They are being engaged in this defect. So, in this debate, the Yogacara, it wins, establishing that consciousness alone is real and there is no world separate from consciousness. So, the first two schools claim that the external world is really externally present. World is Satyam, that is groups 1 and 2, versus world is Mithya, group 3, Yogacara. Now, Gaudapada Acharya, he joins Yogacara because Vedanta and Yogacara, they agree that the world is Mithya. So, the first two schools are introduced in Shloka 24. The first line is the Bahyartha Pratyaksha Vadi and the second line is Bahyartha Anumeya Vadi. So, Shloka 24. That is why we go through all these discussions. They both say that the world is really there, because it is being experienced. If consciousness alone is there, no experience is possible. Because the variety it is experienced, the variety, namely the world, is definitely there. So second school says, varieties of objects must be there because varieties of experiences are there. So for both schools, either directly or indirectly, the existence of the world is there. So from Shloka 25 to 27, Yogacara's answer to the above is described. Superficially seeing, the external objects are there, but on inquiry, they disappear. Logically speaking, they seem to be there externally. But when you analyze their nature, they are not there at all. It is like anything else in creation. For example, take the case of ornaments. There are so many superficially seeing, so many ornaments are there. On inquiry, ornaments are only words that we use, but what is there are not ornaments, but only gold. But is not the gold present? It is also present only superficially. On inquiry, it also gets reduced to what? Into the five elements according to Vedas, or some fundamental particles according to science. So other than the fundamental particles, there are no material things. So Yogacara says that when one goes deeper into analysis, the only thing that is present is the observer that lends existence to the observable objects. They appear to be remaining outside, but are not separate from the observer. The best example is the dream, in which I clearly experience the external objects outside me, the dream observer. The dream world has ETU. If you remember what is ETU, it has experienceable things it has. You can experience them, you can transact, and it has utility. But when I wake up, other than I, the observer, the observed dream world does not have independent existence. The truth of matter is consciousness only. It is a profound statement. When what matters very much is that matter is not matter. It is nothing but consciousness. There is no object other than the subject. This is the position of Yogacara. So an interesting question is asked by schools 1 and 2. If there is no external object at all, how can one talk about erroneous and wrong perceptions? For example, the rope snake perception is a wrong perception. The rope snake perception is called wrong because what is there is only rope. If you don't accept a rope at all, you can never say snake perception is wrong. If there is no dry sand, mirage water perception cannot be said to be wrong. The word wrong perception is possible only if there is an object outside. If there is no object outside, there will be no wrong perception. You cannot conclude something as a wrong perception. Yogacara says that it agrees because according to them, there is no wrong perception at all. There is only one perception, and if at all wrong perception is talked about, Yogacara's definition of wrong perception is different. It is not seeing an object different. Wrong perception is seeing an object wrongly. Then what is wrong perception? Seeing the subject consciousness as though it is an external object is wrong perception. Seeing the subject consciousness as though it is an external object, that is the wrong perception. Wrong perception is not seeing one object for another. In this school, the rope snake is not a wrong perception because the rope itself is not there. The rope is consciousness and the snake also is consciousness. Everything is consciousness alone. And so the problem raised by the first two schools is not present in Yogacara. We are still discussing the four schools of Buddhism. Consciousness alone is reality and the world is mithya. There is no origination of world. It is only an appearance that is experienced. Vedanta agrees with this. Now we bring Vedanta. The appearance requires an adhishtanam. Yogacara and Vedanta say that consciousness is the adhishtanam, is the support. Then what is the fallacy in Yogacara? Because it appears both of them are same. These Yogacara Buddhists, they came very close to Vedanta, but finally they made a blunder. According to Gaudapada. They said that consciousness alone appears as various objects. When I see object one, it is consciousness. And when I see object two, it is consciousness. But in our experience, objects one and two are flowing sequentially. If you see how our mind processes this information, objects one and two are processed sequentially. I experience one object, then I turn to another object. Object one disappears for me, and now I am experiencing object two. The experience of objects is in the form of a flow. Each experience lasts only for a very finite period. Based on this, Yogacara concludes that every experience is consciousness alone because there is no experience other than consciousness. Further, Yogacara says that consciousness itself is a coming and going series. It is not one external eternal consciousness, but several consciousness coming and going serially, sequentially. So Yogacara qualifies consciousness as Kshanika Vijnanam. This is another word. Kshanika Vijnanam. Vedanta says that consciousness is Nitya Vijnanam. This is the fundamental difference between these two. Yogacara qualifies consciousness as Kshanika Vijnanam, whereas Vedanta says consciousness is Nitya Vijnanam. So according to Yogacara, the first experience comes as the first consciousness. Then the first experience and the first consciousness, they go away. This is, and the second experience 2 comes, consciousness 2 comes, and so on. So for Yogacara, consciousness is Kshanika Vijnanam series, the flow of momentary consciousness. Kshanika Vijnanam means momentary consciousness. It exists for that moment. So this series of momentary consciousness is the observer, and this series alone is Satyam, according to them. This series alone is Satyam. This is the conclusion of Yogacara. And Gaudapadacharya does not agree with this. Vijnanam is Satyam, is acceptable, but Vijnanam is Kshanika, that is not acceptable to Gaudapada. The conclusion of Gaudapadacharya is given in this important shloka, shloka 28. We are going to see. An external world is never born common to both Vedanta and Yogacara. Both of them are common. External world is never born and never exists really. And it is only an appearance of consciousness. Consciousness referred to here by the word chittam with a special meaning also does not appear and disappear. This is the negation of Yogacara. So Yogacara, it appears and disappears, consciousness, whereas that is Kshanika Vijnanam, and Gaudapadacharya talks about Nitya Vijnanam. But Shankaracharya discusses these systems in several of his commentaries. In his commentary on Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Brahma Sutra, and in other places also, Shankaracharya has analyzed each school of thought. And Upadesa Sahasri, and as he also analyzes these schools. So Shankaracharya gives a simple reason. He asks, how does one know that consciousness is coming and going? Very simple question. How do I know consciousness is coming and going? Who knows the coming consciousness and the going consciousness? The object cannot know because according to Yogacara itself, the object itself is not there. It cannot be said that consciousness one knows the flow of the next one because when consciousness two comes, consciousness one is already gone. So consciousness one can never know about consciousness two. And consciousness two will not know about either one or three, and three will not know about two or four. So no single consciousness can know the others because each one lasts for one kshanam, one moment only, for that moment only. So the knower of the flow must be outside the flow. Therefore, in Kshanika Vijnanavada, there is no one to know the Kshanika Vijnanam. Whereas Vedanta says there is a Nitya Vijnanam that is capable of witnessing the changing experiences. And the changing experiences are not changing consciousness, but only changing thoughts. Thoughts are flowing, and flow of thoughts are witnessed by consciousness. That itself is not changing. Changeless consciousness, consciousness Chaitanyam. Changeless consciousness is the witness of the changing thoughts. And even as the experiences are changing, the thoughts are changing, consciousness is not temporary and it is ekam eva advitiyam. We have seen all those earlier. So Gaudapada Acharya is teasing the Yogacara people who talk about the origination of consciousness by saying that they are seeing things that are not there. He gives the example of a bird flying in the sky and someone seeing the bird flying and saying that he has the bird's footprints. That's what we saw, looking at the footprints in the sky. This is similar to saying that the origination of consciousness and appearance and disappearance of consciousness is a fact. With the refutation of the Nastika Buddhist system, the refutation of all systems other than Vedanta is also over. So hereafter, Gaudapada Acharya consolidates the teaching in the next shlokas. Shloka 29. This subject is a little involved subject because there are so many things that are being discussed. So, you know, it may be useful to listen to the talk again, perhaps, to make things clear. Shloka 29. Ajatam jayate yasmat ajati prakritistataha prakrite ranyata bhavaha nakatanchit bhavishyati. Ajatam jayate, the unborn, ajatam, unborn consciousness, is born jayate according to the disputants, the people who dispute. Yasmat ajatihi prakritihi tata. Being unborn, therefore, being unborn is the intrinsic nature of consciousness. So consciousness is never born. Being unborn is the intrinsic nature, prakriti. Hence, prakritehe anyata bhavaha. Transformation of the intrinsic nature, anyata bhavaha, transformation of the prakritehe intrinsic nature of being unborn, na katanchit bhavishyati, will not take place, na katanchit anyhow, it will not take place. So this is a very significant shloka. Here Gaudapada Acharya points out where all the systems uniformly commit the mistake. All the systems that accept a creation will have to make this logical mistake. If this logical fallacy is not understood, it would be useful in understanding mithya. If this is understood, it will be useful to understand mithya. Because in Advaitam, the toughest topic is not even Brahman. We mentioned this earlier also. Toughest topic is not Brahman, but it is the mithyatvam of the universe. That is the toughest topic. So all these systems that accept that there is a creation and so that there is origination of the creation, including science, will have to analyze how the universe originated. All these systems, they seem to solve the problem. Gaudapada Acharya points out where the flaw is. He says that whenever you talk about the origination of the world, invariably the question will come to the cause for the organization, for the origination or creation. So any cause that you establish, for example, the paramanu of Nayayika system, you know, they have the paramanu, or the prakriti of the Sankhyas, they will raise another question. Whatever system you take, if you establish based on those systems, it will raise another question of how that cause originated. If prakriti is the cause, how prakriti originated? If paramanu is the cause of nayayikas, how paramanu originated? So our experience in life is that every karanam has a karanam also. To answer this question, these systems say that the moola karanam does not originate. It is a causeless cause. They say that karanam is, that karanam is eternal. And this is the trap. Once karanam is said to be eternal, their system collapses logically. The karanam status and the eternal status cannot coexist. See the difference? The karanam status, the cause for something, and the eternal nature of the karanam, that cannot coexist. Why? Because any karanam has to undergo a change, whether it is nimittam or upadanam, whether it is nimitta karanam or upadana karanam, it has to undergo a change to produce the effect. So how can the eternal prakriti evolve into the universe? How can the eternal paramanu evolve into the universe of the Nayayikas? Shankaracharya analyzes all this very elaborately in Brahma Sutras. We are going to see, we may not be able to see all that in detail, but at least we will get some glimpses of them. The second chapter, second pada, when we go to Brahma Sutras, which is going to be down the road, maybe, I don't know. I hope Amba will enable me to cover that also. So he shows that karanam cannot be eternal and the eternal cannot be karanam. These are all some mind-boggling arguments. Karanam cannot be eternal and the eternal cannot be karanam. Therefore, the cause of the universe cannot be talked about at all. If the cause of the universe cannot be talked about, how can one talk about its origin? Since the origination of the universe cannot be talked about, there is no origin of the universe at all. Then what is all this? We are seeing all this universe, everything we are seeing. Maya projected appearances only, all of them. The dream members who come into the dream come without any origination. Who originated them? Dream is an appearance. Similarly, the entire world is an appearance caused by Maya. We said that Nidra Shakti causes the dream. Maya Shakti causes the entire universe to evolve. It has a conditional reality in Jagrat Avastha, in the waking state, the dream. Just as dream world has in dream state, in the Jagrat Avastha, in the waking state, the Maya Shakti enables us to see the creation as is. Therefore, conditional reality must be given its conditional importance only, because it is conditional reality. Being conditional reality, one should respect that reality. We already went through this discussion. Only for the dreamer, dream world exists. Only for the waker, waking world exists. So conditional reality must be given its conditional importance because it is a conditional reality. So being reality, conditional also, one has to respect it though. So if the dream dog, for example, chases you, I gave this example earlier. In the dream, if an elephant charges at you, then one has to still run in the dream. The dream body has to run. Respect conditional reality, but never respect it as though it is absolute reality. In the Viveka Chudamani class, we have already seen that not to overestimate the world as absolute reality, but do not underestimate the world also as though it is non-existent. It is neither non-existent nor absolute reality, but respect it. How do you know that you are overestimating or underestimating? If you do your duty, you are not underestimating. When you are underestimating, you refuse to do your duty, your dharma, following what one has to do. If you are worrying over your duties, then you are overestimating. If you are not performing your duty, you are underestimating. If you are overdoing, you are worrying about your duties, you are overestimating. Do the duty and do not worry. This will lead to a healthy living. Shloka 30.
Anadheranantatvancha na setsyati anantat achadimataham mokshasyana bhavishyati. Anadehe samsarasya anantatvam.
End of a beginningless samsara. Na setsyati, cannot be established. And mokshasya anantata, the endlessness of moksha, adimataha, which has a beginning, na bhavishyati, that is also not possible. So a question may arise. I just only gave the word meaning, so let us have a small discussion. A question might arise. Gaudapada Acharya said that what is eternal cannot be a karanam because a thing has to undergo a change to be a karanam. Now a series of questions from modern science would be what? Why is it that what is eternal cannot undergo a change? Why do you not consider matter that we are experiencing? Matter cannot be created or destroyed. So matter is therefore eternal. The material world has always been present. It cannot be created or destroyed. So matter undergoes change. These are all questions. Matter is eternal, but matter undergoes change. Why can't you accept a universe that is eternal and changing? In the previous argument, we said what is eternal cannot be because it has to undergo change. Gaudapada Acharya says he does not discuss this directly, but these questions need to be addressed. He doesn't discuss about them, but we have to address this. So if you say the world is eternal, first one has to give up the idea of creation because what is eternal can never be created or originated. If world is eternal, then one has to talk about, we cannot talk about a creation at all because, you know, it is eternal. So if you drop the idea of creation and origination, then you cannot talk about a moola karanam also. So there is a moola karanam also when we cannot talk about creation or origination. So when the world is not a karyam, karyam means effect. If it is created, it is an effect. We cannot talk about its moola karanam. So once a universe that is eternal and without a beginning is accepted, karanam for the world becomes irrelevant. So science accepts that the universe has not originated. You see how where we are going to? So once a universe that is eternal and without a beginning is accepted, karanam for the world becomes irrelevant. So science accepts that the universe has not originated. Therefore, the universe does not have a moola karanam. So the universe is eternal and the universe is always changing also. Why can't we accept such a universe? We can accept that universe. You know, it is eternal and it is also changing. Gaudapada Acharya answers in this sloka. So once you accept such a universe, Dvaitam is real and eternal. Accepting that the universe is real is accepting duality. The world is itself dual in nature, and there is duality in the form of I, the subject, and the world, the object. So if the world is accepted, it is acceptance of Dvaitam. Dvaitam is samsara according to Vedanta. In a changing world, mortality cannot be avoided. Mortality is samsara. Therefore, accepting an eternal universe is accepting eternal Dvaitam and eternal samsara. You see where the argument leads to. Accepting an eternal universe is accepting eternal Dvaitam and eternal samsara. Once samsara is accepted as eternal, then there is no possibility for moksha at all. Science cannot talk about moksha, but can only talk about samsara. Science cannot talk about moksha, it can talk about only samsara. All the systems, including the Nastika darshanas, they are working for moksha only. Every system wants to work for moksha only. The beginningless Dvaitam will never end, and all the spiritual sadhanas, they will become fruitless because moksha can never be attained. The answer then is that Dvaitam is eternal, but it is eternally a mithya. The world also. In Advaitam, we do have a scope for moksha because we also accept that Dvaitam is eternal, but it is eternally mithya. And we can claim liberation because the eternal mithya can never affect my swarupam of moksha. In Advaitam alone, moksha possibility is there. If the uncreated matter, the universe, and the uncreated duality are without beginning and eternal, there will be no end to samsara. This dosha is called Anirmoksha Prasangaha. There is a name for this dosha. This is considered a dosha. in the argument. So this dosha is called anirmoksha prasangaha. In karma karyavada, out of the six formulations therein, the sixth formulation is derived from the second line of this verse. If samsara is beginningless, it will not end, and therefore no moksha is possible. Suppose samsara ends even though it is beginningless. Let us assume. Gaudapada Acharya says that the end of that samsara will be the beginning of moksha. Correct? When the samsara, if you think it ends, then the end of that samsara will be the beginning of moksha. It looks reasonable. But if you really analyze this, if moksha has a date of beginning, it will have an expiry date also. No moksha, anything that is created in time, will have to end in time. No moksha is possible if dvaitam is eternal and beginningless. Dvaitam is neither beginningless nor eternal because it does not exist at all. It is only an appearance. If moksha begins at some time, it will not be permanent. All the darshanas have accepted moksha to be permanent. Any darshana if you take, they all accept moksha as permanent. So there are differences in the description of moksha, but all systems agree about eternal moksha. Advaita Vedanta never talks about the arrival of moksha because arriving moksha is not moksha. What is to be done is dismissing the misconception that moksha arrives in time. It is not an event in time that is going to occur tomorrow or your future. I need to claim moksha, which is my nature, my swarupam, irrespective of the appearing and disappearing world, events, people, relationships, irrespective of all of them, I need to claim moksha, which is my own nature. Events, world, relationship, people, they all appear and disappear. But they do not affect my state of liberation. I am free, not because of something. I am free by nature. I am free in spite of things happening around me. Krishna refers to this in the Bhagavad Gita actually. Matras parshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukadukkadaha agama apayino nitya stantitikshasva bharata. That's what he said. Sense organs, objects which cause cold, heat, pleasure, pain, they are subject to arrival and departure. They are impermanent. O Arjuna, endure them. May you learn to tolerate them. And you can do so only when you understand that the nature of the world and the events is mithya. What is mithyatvam? We have to remember the four points. Existence of the world is to be negated. The origin of the world has to be negated. Appearance of the world has to be accepted. The appearance is due to Mula Avidya or Maya. Sloka 31. Adavante chayan nasti vartamane pitatatha vitata isadrisha santaha avitata iva lakshitaha. Adavantaha chayan yet nasti. That which does not exist in the beginning and in the end, adi antaha, vartamane api tattata. It is so in the middle also, doesn't exist in the middle also. Vitataihi sadrishaha santaha. Even though they are identical with unreal objects, avitata eva lakshitaha. They are regarded as though real. So to establish the mithyatvam of the universe, we should remember all these four features of the universe. We just mentioned all four. The four features put together are, they are all mithya. So of these four features, different acharyas emphasize different features. The mithyatvam of world can be defined by emphasizing any of them. Gaudapada Acharya generally highlights the second feature, which is the origination of the world is to be negated. So whatever the explanation for creation is, it is falsifiable. They are all false. Negation of the world is ajatiwada. That we mentioned many times earlier. So in Shloka 32 of second chapter and Shloka 48 of the third chapter, which we saw, both the Mithyatvam of the second chapter and the Advaitam of the third chapter, Gaudapada Acharya stresses that nothing is born and the world is not born. Shankaracharya, in all other Upanishads, he does not stress the second feature because it is too difficult to accept, especially when one experiences the world all the time. So it is not that Shankaracharya is against the second feature, he accepts it also, but does not highlight the second feature in all those places. He emphasizes the third feature, which is the appearance of the world has to be accepted. This is called Adhyasavada or Mithyajativada. So Shankaracharya does not say that the world is not born. The world appears and disappears. And its appearance has ETU. ETU experience, transaction, utility. It is experienced, transactions take place in it, and it is very useful, the world. Even though it has ETU, it is Mithya only. ETU does not prove reality because ETU is possible for the appearing world. Reality means you should understand what is reality and all by now. How can the world be only an appearance but has ETU? Gaudapada Acharya's answer was given in the second chapter. The appearance can have ETU just like the dream world. So Gaudapada Acharya himself comes to Adhyasavada here. If Ajadivada is too difficult to accept, come to Adhyasavada. He already discussed Adhyasavada in the second chapter. He restates several shlokas from second chapter 2, in shlokas 32 to 35 in this chapter also. So instead of saying that world has no origination, he says it has an appearance. During its appearance, it will be real. But what? What reality? Conditionally real. So a summary of the verses 32 to 35 will be given. We'll do that after we can complete that section. So verses 31 to 35, they correspond to the chapter 2, verses 6, 7, 1. And one sloka 1 also with slight modification, 2 and all that. Shloka 32. We have some time to do that, yes.
Sapraya janata tesham swapne vipratipadhyate tasmada atyantamadvena mithyaiva khalu te smrutaham. Tesham saprayojanatha, that utility, prayojanam, swapne vipratipadyate, is contradicted in dream, swapne, tasmat, therefore, mithyaiva khalu te smrutaha. They are indeed considered to be unreal only, mithyaiva. Adhyantamantvena, since they have a beginning and end, because they have a beginning and end, they are indeed considered to be unreal. Shloka 33. We'll discuss all the shlokas together. Sarve dharma mrisha swapne kayasyantar nidarshanat samvrite smin pradeshe vai bhutanam darshanam kutaha. Swapne sarve dharma mrisha. All entities in dream are unreal, mrisha. Kayasyantar nidarshanat. Since they are seen within the body, kaya is the body. Kutaha bhutanam darshanam. Kutaha, how can there be the perception of objects bhutanam darshanam? Samrute asmin pradeshe, within this limited space, asmin pradeshe. So again, this argument also we have seen. In Swapna we are seeing so many things happening, but there is space and time cannot permit all those happenings to happen. Shloka 34. Na yuktam darshanam gatva kalasyaniya madgataum pratibuddhascha vai sarvaha tasmin deshena vidyate. Na yuktam darshanam gatva. Seeing the dream entities in dream, after reaching them, is not possible because this kalasya niyamat gatav, of the inconsistency of the duration with respect to travel. In the dream you can see so many things, but they cannot really happen because of duration with respect to travel. Pratibuddhascha vai sarvaha tasmin deshe na vidyate.
Again, after waking up, Pratibuddhaha, after waking Pratibuddhaha, no one can continue to be in that same place. For example, you are traveling in dream to some place, and then if you want to continue after you wake up, you cannot, because you are in your own bed. Shloka 35. Mitradhai saha sammantriyam sambuddho na prapadhyate grihitam chapi yat kinchite pratibuddho na pashyati. Mitradhau saha sammantriyam. After conversing with friends and all those people in dream, sambuddho na prapadhyate, the waker does not find it real. It's all the dream. Again, prabuddhau, after waking up, kinchit na pashyati, he does not see anything also. Grihitam chapi, which was received in the dream, whatever he has received in the dream or whatever, all those accolades, they are all gone. So Gaudapada says that the dream world appears to be very real in dream. Nobody believes dream is a dream in dream. For a dreamer, dream is not a dream at all. He looks upon dream as waking only and takes the dream world as real. Further, the dream world appears to be common and objective, that is available to everyone and not a private projection while in dream. But we cannot accept dream world to be real because it happens in our minds only. After waking up, the dream world is known to be an appearance because sufficient space and time for a real dream world are not present in our minds. So Gaudapada Acharya adds two more points here, which he did not discuss in the chapter 2. So a dream talk with a friend cannot be verified with that friend upon waking. In dream I have been discussing, let us say, with a friend. After waking up, can I go and verify with my friend in real time about the talk? No. Similarly, a gift received in dream will not be present upon waking. So Gaudapada Acharya gives such examples so we can meditate upon these features of the dream. Understanding dream is very useful to understand the mithyatvam of this world. So world is only conditionally real, like dream world. Dream world should be respected in dream. Vedanta never says that this world should be neglected, never. Do all your duties properly, because the waking world is real and in the waking state, and so it should be given its due regard. At the same time, remember that the waking world does not have absolute reality. Absolute is to be underlined. What about I, the observer? I, the observer, am unlike the waking world. The waking world is like the dream world, and both borrow existence from myself, who is not Vishwa, Taijasa, or Pragna, but who am I? I am the Turiya Atma, Turiyam. So after gaining knowledge of Turiyam, live in waking world accepting it as a fact, because waking world is real in Jagradavastha, just like in dream state, dream world is real. As he did in the second chapter, Gaudapada Acharya is equating the dream and the waking worlds by adding a few more important points. So up to the 35th sloka, you know, it is a repetition of the second chapter only in substance. So give the respect to the world that it deserves without either overestimating or underestimating it. This is called Jivan Mukti. The waking world has conditional reality, but I have unconditional absolute reality. I will not be affected by any events that take place. This is capsule 4 of Vedanta. We have mentioned this many times, that I am never affected by any event that takes place in the material world or the material body-mind complex, and I am asangaha. If this is remembered, events in life will not affect one too much. This knowledge is a powerful shock absorber. Let me perhaps do one more shloka and stop.
Swapne chavastu takkayaha pradaganyasya darshanat yata kayastata sarvam chittadrishyam avastukam swapne kayaha cha avastutaha. The physical body in dream is unreal, avastutaha. Pritak anyasya darshanat, because of the experience of another body,
distinct from the dream body, yatha kayaha, just as the body in dream is unreal, tata sarvam chitta drishyam avastukam. So also tata, every object of consciousness, sarvam chitta drishyam, object of consciousness, sarvam chitta drishyam avastukam. Avastukam means is unreal. So when we enter the dream, first thing we do is what? Project the body, mind, sense, consciousness for our use. The complex. Body, mind, sense. All of them. For our use. That's what we are projecting. So with the waking body, mind, sense complex, we cannot do any transaction in dream. Dream has to have its own body, mind, sense complex. So the dream body that is transacting in dream is different from the waker's body that is resting on bed. That the dream body is a projected body is known when? Only after I wake up. In dream, the projection of the dream will never be accepted. This is the glory of Nidra Shakti. Dream body is object of experience actually. And so it is Mithya. So whatever, you know, fundamental teaching of Mandukya Upanishad, whatever is an object of experience is Mithya. That is the fundamental law of Mandukya Karika. And Satyam is whatever is not an object of experience. That is I, the experiencer. I am not an object of experience. If this law can be applied with regard to dream, it should be applied to waking also. Like the dream shariram, everything obtaining in waking state also is an object, including the waking body, mind, and the world. All these are all objects. First we experience our mind. Through the mind we experience our body, and through our body we experience the world. The mind is the primary object, the body is secondary object, and the world is the tertiary object of experience. Even though these three are at three different levels, what is common to all the three is that they are all what? They are all objects of experience. And the second line of the 36th shloka which we just read is an important line of Mandukya Karika. Just like the dream mind, body, world and everything, object of experience is Mithya, all of them. It is conditionally real, known as Vyavaharika Satyam. Paramarthika Satyam and Vyavaharika Satyam, we are familiar with those terms. And what about God? If God is an object of experience in either waking or dream state, this Shaddarshanas, that God is also a conditional reality. If God is an object of experience in either waking state or in dream state, that God also is conditional reality only. God as an object cannot be the ultimate truth as is given in Keno Upanishad. Nedam yaditam upasate. The object of upasana cannot be the ultimate reality. When God is recognized as Atma, the Turiyam, then God is real. Shantam, Shivam, Advaitam, Chaturtam, Manyante. Remember the 7th shloka of Mandukya Upanishad. That Turiyam, that Turiya Atma, that Shantam, Shivam, Advaitam. That Prapanchopashaman. We read all that thing, the 7th shloka. So that is that Turiya Atma. If the God is recognized as that Turiya Atma, then the truth is understood by us. Maybe I will stop here, because I'll take more time to do the next shloka. Yo vedadau swara prakto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti linasya yaparasamaheshwaraha. Sri Krishna arpanamastu Narayana.